Tonight we have two Bible readings, and the first one comes from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the truth that gives light to everyone who is coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decisions or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the second reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Great to be back at church after 4 weeks away on leave, and I'm so very thankful to Peter and the rest of the staff team and other leaders who've stepped in to fill a few gaps while I was away. It's a real blessing to be able to go away and know just everything's going to keep running really well and be in really safe hands. Now, many of you know, actually, while I was away on leave, I took 12 days to go on a bicycle trip over in Western Australia, and it was a great time. It was a pretty challenging trip, but one of the things I like to do when I go on little bike trips is take some video and a bit of footage of my ride. And so when you take footage, of course, you need someone to show it to, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to be at church, and that's going to be like 300 people, and I'm going to show it to everyone, so that's awesome. So I thought I would tell you a little bit of footage from my ride. I took on my GoPro. Pretty spectacular footage. Yeah, it's very spectacular, isn't it? Very spectacular. This is the real footage, and it was taken at the end of my second day of riding. I think we didn't have the sound on, so you couldn't hear me grunting in the background. What happened that day was I miscalculated my ride, and so I didn't get to my destination on time, and so it got dark, and I was actually riding in this forest in the middle of the night. Now, to be absolutely honest, probably the camera does exaggerate how dark it was a little bit. I did have some, you know, a bit of a headlamp to see where I was going, but it was very dark. I lost my way about three times because I couldn't see the little trail markers that were telling me where to go. I was in danger of hitting roots and rocks and bumps in the trail. It was an off-road trail, and I couldn't see them very well. And it was a huge relief when I finally popped out of the forest and arrived, could see the lights of the town in the distance. Actually, I didn't put this part in the video because I didn't think it came out very well, but you'll see some blurry lights in the distance, and under my breath you can hear me saying, hallelujah. I hadn't remembered saying that, but when I watched the video I was like, oh yeah, well, I was really glad to get out of the darkness. Being in the dark is not really any fun. By contrast, a few days later, when I was more into the swing of things, I actually got to my destination before the sun had set. I was able to climb up on a rock near the place where I was camping and capture a little bit of footage, and this is the self-indulgent part, actually. There you go, a bit of footage from my ride. Light really does make a huge difference, doesn't it? Light highlights the beauty and the majesty of the creation, the landscape. Light kind of brings everything to light. It's an incredible thing. Light is such a fundamental part of actually our whole experience of the universe. Without light, actually imagine what it'd be like. We wouldn't know hardly anything about our universe. We wouldn't experience, we'd only experience a tiny fraction of everything that we, of everything in the reality that we have in God's creation. And today, as we come to in this final sermon in our series in the Signpost about the different parts of creation and how they point to God, we're going to be thinking about light and what it teaches us about God. And I think actually light is an incredibly significant signpost to God, because according to the Bible, light is not just something that is a bit like God in different ways. The Bible actually tells us that God is light. Pete read those verses for us from 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness. In some ways, light is almost more than a signpost, isn't it? Something outside of God that's pointing to us to what God is like. This verse tells us actually light gets us really to some of the very essence of who God is. Now, the truth is, of course, as human beings, none of us can really understand God completely or perfectly, because he's just far beyond our understanding. But I think of all the things in creation that get us close to God, light is one of those things. The Bible also says God is love. So love, something that's extremely right there at the essence of God, but light is at the top of the list of things in creation that are like God and that get us to the essence of who God is. Now, when John says God is light, that's not an idea that he's kind of plucked out of thin air. I'm sure he's thought back to some of the other things that it says in the Bible. And in particular, I think John might have thought back to the very first couple of verses of the Bible. In the very first couple of verses of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, we're told that everything is formless and empty and dark. If you were here last week, Lloyd talked about what a kind of foreboding and scary picture it is there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. This dark and chaotic nothingness that is there. But what does God do? What is the first thing that God does? Well, he bursts into the darkness, doesn't he? And he says, let there be light. Light is the kind of first fundamental building block of his creation. If you ever walk down the hall in the middle of the night at home, I don't know what things are there to scare you. It might be sharp Lego blocks that you're going to stand on. It might be those chair or table legs that are jumping out to kick your toes as you walk past. Maybe it's the rats that you fear might be scurrying over the floor and doing something terrible to you. I'm not quite sure what it is, but my wife tells me, Simone tells me, it's very, very scary whatever they're going to do. But then, you know, you walk to the light switch and you flick it on, and all of a sudden there's peace and there's order. Light bursts into the reality. And that's a bit what God does in the beginning. Light bursts into the reality of nothingness. The God who is light begins creation with something that fundamentally reflects who he is. He infuses reality with his own glory and beauty and order and warmth and life, all the things that light brings to us. Now, I don't know what is one of the key thing that you think light tells us about God. I mentioned a few of them there that I guess are things that light brings into our world, warmth and beauty and order. But actually in the Bible, I think one of the most important things that light brings is something I hadn't really thought about before. I was actually probably reading to prepare for this sermon. In the Bible, light brings life. You might have noticed that in the verses from John chapter 1 that we just read. John is talking about Jesus and introducing Jesus to us, and he says in verse 4, John chapter 1 verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light of Jesus, John says, is going to kind of shine out into the world, and that that light is going to bring life to all mankind. And again, this idea of light bringing life is something that actually is there in the Old Testament of the Bible as well. A couple of verses, Psalm 36 verse 9, it says, "For with you is the fountain of life, in your light we see light." And then Isaiah 53, verse 11, "After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied." Both these verses, to have life and to have light, are actually almost the same thing. When God shines his light into reality, when he creates light in the universe, he's actually bringing things to life. In the Bible, to be alive is figuratively to have a light within you. It's, I guess, perhaps the reason for this imagery is, you know, when you look at the flame of a candle, and of course that was the kind of light that people in Old Testament times would have known, you know, it looks a bit like the flame is alive. Fire is something that seems to be alive. And so to have light in your life is to be alive. To have light means that you can see what is going on in the world around you, interact with the world. It means, I guess, you have light within you means that you can know what is going on in your own life and see, understand inside yourself and have thoughts. And that's why to have light is to have life. And similarly in the Bible, if you lose your light, then actually that's a picture of what it means to lose your life. To die is to have your light go out. The light of God, when he shines it into our world, he doesn't just bring kind of inanimate photons and electromagnetic waves. The light of God actually brings life into our world, because God is the God of life. But life isn't the only thing that comes with the God of light. The light of God also brings goodness and truth into our world. Psalm 119 has a famous verse that says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." When God kind of shines into our lives, into the world, he reveals truth. He reveals what the world is really like. He helps us to know the path that we should walk on, the path of righteousness, the path that fits with who he has made us to be. Another verse in Proverbs captures a similar idea. It says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." Probably we often use the phrase like, to be in the dark, don't we? Which means to be ignorant or lost. And that was certainly what I was when I was riding around in a strange forest after dark. I was very much in the dark, figuratively as well. But God is a bright light who reveals reality, who shows us what the world is really like, what is going on, who shines the light on the path, that the right way that we should live. And particularly does that when he gives us his word. We really need the bright light of God's truth, because our world in so many places is actually a dark place. Our world is a place of ignorance. Our world is a place where people get off the path of truth and goodness, where people lose their way in all kinds of sin and evil. And the Bible connects darkness and evil. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 says, "Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, rather expose them." Sin and evil are the things that we see in our world. They are dark. In contrast to the beauty and the glory and the comfort of light, sin and evil, ignorance and fear and confusion and pain, darkness. But while actually evil itself is a dark thing, in the Bible actually there's something else that's even more commonly connected to darkness, and that is the judgment of God upon evil. You first see this in the book of Exodus, the story of Israel escaping from slavery in Egypt from Pharaoh, and God sends a series of plagues on Pharaoh to judge him for his cruelty and towards the people of Israel. And one of the plagues is darkness, because that is what God that is kind of what God sends to judge Pharaoh. But as the Old Testament goes on, darkness then kind of becomes not a literal judgment, but an image that is used when God judges people. Even the people of Israel, God's own people, when they do evil and when they turn away from God and when they worship idols and when they do injustice and all those kind of things, God's judgment is described as darkness. A couple of verses I want to read for you. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 30. "In that day they will roar over it like the roaring of the sea. If one looks at the land, there is only darkness and distress. Even the sun will be darkened by clouds." That's Isaiah saying, hey guys, if you don't turn away from your evil, if you don't come back to God, this is the kind of judgment that you're going to experience. The day when God judges, it is a day of darkness. Similarly, the book of Lamentations, that's a poem that was written by the Israelites when they were in exile, when they'd been sent away from their promised land because of all the sins that they'd done, and they are mourning all of that. It's like a song that's mourning that, and this is what Lamentations says. It says, "I'm a man who's seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light." To face God's judgment is to be sent into darkness. I think this image is helpful in just understanding what actually God's judgment is. God's judgment is when he turns away from us. It is when we are separated from the glow of his love and his goodness. Often we just talk about judgment of God as being separated from God. And that's kind of half true. I've talked about judgment that way myself often. But strictly speaking, of course, none of us, nobody is ever completely out of God's presence, no matter what they do. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent and he's all-powerful, and even people who are under his judgment are, in some sense, in his presence. But what we can be separated from is God's light. What we can be outside of, what we can be separated from, is the warmth and the light and the goodness of a right relationship with God. One of the other images that the Bible talks about when we're in a good relationship with God, it says his face shines upon us. We live in his light. But when we sin against him, when we rebel, when we don't worship him as the true God and creator of everything, it's like he turns away from us. He turns his back on us. And we are separated from his light, and we are therefore in darkness. And we do see so much darkness in our world. Humanity as a whole has chosen sin and evil over truth and goodness. We experience darkness in our own hearts often. We have dark thoughts, and we do dark things. Other times we experience the darkness from others when they do wrong things to us. Jesus actually says that ultimately if we choose a path of evil and we choose to turn our backs on God, we will be cast into darkness forever, into eternal darkness. And we're unlike our world. There's no light at all. That is judgment. But that is not God's what God wants for our world. That is not what God wants for anyone. God has a plan, actually, to save people from the darkness of our world. He has a plan to send his light into our world, and he actually wants every single person to come and live in the light with him. And that is where we come back to John chapter 1, verse 8, that we read just before. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John's talking about the coming of Jesus here. And Jesus coming into the world is like a light shining in our world. This idea that God's Savior coming was going to be like a light, was something again that had been promised in the prophets from the Old Testament, that had been prayed about by the writers of the Psalms. So many of them had seen this image of God shining a light into the world to save people from darkness, the darkness of sin and judgment. One verse from the prophet Isaiah, we often read this verse at Christmas time. It says that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. When God was going to save his people and send his Savior, light was going to dawn on people living in the darkness of judgment. God had a plan to rescue people from darkness and to bring them into his wonderful light again. Now, as you go into the Gospels and you start to see this plan of God sending his light into the world being developed more and more, you see that actually God's rescue plan is that he himself is going to come and shine light into our dark world. He's going to come and live in with the darkness of sin and judgment all around him through Jesus, his Son. And that's what Jesus does. He lives in our world and he experiences the darkness of sin and evil. People treat him in terrible ways. They slander him and they mock him and they falsely accuse him. But instead of being overwhelmed by the darkness of our world, Jesus is somebody, the one person, who always walks in God's light. Jesus is always in his life a beacon of goodness, of grace and of faith, whatever is going on around him. And ultimately, Jesus' light even shines as he experiences the darkness of God's judgment when he dies on the cross. If you know the story of Good Friday, as it's recorded in all the Gospels, there's something that stands out that happens. At midday, when the sun is normally shining at its brightest, Jesus is hung on the cross and darkness covers the land, because as Jesus hangs on the cross, that is a moment of God's judgment like no other. Jesus himself, who didn't deserve that judgment, is taking it upon himself. Jesus doesn't experience the darkness of judgment for his own sin, but he experiences it in our place. But Jesus is not conquered by darkness. And even though he goes to the grave on the third day at dawn, as the sun is rising in the sky, the Son of God also rises to shine light in our world and to begin a new kingdom of light where he invites anyone and everyone to come by faith and join him in that great kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about this new kingdom of light that Jesus has created in our dark world. He says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Because of Jesus, because Jesus went through judgment for us, because Jesus has a kingdom of light, He calls us to join him. He calls us out of our sin, our rebellion, the things that do so much damage to our world and to other people. He calls us out of the darkness of being cut off from God's goodness and grace because we face judgment. And he invites us into his beautiful light, the light of forgiveness, the light of restoration, the light of having a new path to walk, path of righteousness that Jesus has created for us. And if you are someone who's here tonight and you've never actually accepted that invitation of Jesus to come out of the darkness of our world, the darkness of our lives, the darkness of judgment, and to come into the wonderful light that Jesus can provide, there's no better time to do that than today. You can have the wonderful light that Jesus provides simply by putting your faith in him and following him, accepting his sacrifice in your place. So that's a great invitation. But if you're someone who already has come into God's light, well, the Bible says if you're someone who by faith has accepted the light and come into Jesus' kingdom of light, well, that actually should be reflected in the way that you live each day. Ephesians chapter 5 says, you as Christians, if you're a Christian and have accepted Jesus, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. The fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Wonder if that is reflected in your life. If you're someone who knows the light that Jesus has to offer, is your life reflective of that light? Well, this week, as perhaps get to enjoy some beautiful sunshine, the weather is looking up. It's been a bit rainy, hasn't it, this year? But this week, I reckon, we're going to be enjoying some beautiful sunshine. We're going to see some sunrises. We're going to see some sunsets. We're going to see the clarity and the beauty and the warmth around us. Remember that all these things are great pointers to the God who made us. But more than the God who made us, the God who wants to shine that light into our lives and invite us to live in that light with him forever. And if you're somebody who has come out of the darkness and as you look around at the light, I think about how your life each day can reflect that light of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the light of Jesus that shines into our dark world. We thank you that it reflects your goodness, your love, and your grace. And we pray that each one of us might come to him, might walk in the light that only he can give. And we pray that as we trust him and receive his light, that our lives might be walk that path of righteousness and truth and goodness that reflect the light that Jesus has shone into our lives. We pray these things in his name. Amen.